You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church or other additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
And so let me pray, and then we'll get going. Jesus, we love you, God. We thank you that, Lord, there is no stone in our hearts that you don't want to leave unturned. And so, God, we welcome you this morning, and we ask you that, Lord, you would come and that you would meet us where we are, but you don't, and that you would not leave us where we are, God. Meet us where we are, but please, Jesus, don't leave us where we are, because we know that you are a good Father. You are the cornerstone. We want to build our lives in you and around you, on you and everything, God. Lord, we just want to say we dare not trust in this sweetest frame, in our frames, God, but we want to wholly trust in you, God. So open up our hearts and open up our minds as we hear your word this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we began a series called Gospel, Greed, and Generosity. One of the main reasons why we began that series is simply because as you're reading scripture, there is this thread that you see where God is constantly, the gospel moves us away from greed and moves us towards generosity. It moves us away from greed and towards generosity. And last week we started looking at some reasons why we wanted to take some time to talk on this subject of money and possessions. And we gave a couple of reasons. But the chief reason behind that is because God loves us. He is a good Father. And he knows this one thing. He knows that money and possessions have the propensity and have the potential to monopolize the affections of our hearts. He knows that there's a big tug that we get when we start focusing more on money and possessions. There's this tension that happens where we end up assuming that this is God instead of God himself. So God is jealous about our worship. So the first reason we looked at this is simply because we find out that the theme of money is actually dominant in the New Testament. In fact, let me just give you a quick rundown. Jesus talks 2,350 verses on money and possessions, and that's twice more about than faith, than sex, than anything else, than prayer itself as well. Why? Because it is very important. It's very important. There's the way we feel and think and act about what we have dictates to us about what we really think about God. So we need to think about that. And so we see that 16 out of 40 parables were talked about. It was about money. That's 15% of Jesus' words. And so we need to think about this as well as a church. And the second reason is that we need to be biblically informed about money and possessions. And there is a possibility that we can think what we think in our society today as wise is what the Bible calls foolish. And what we think is foolish is what we call wise today. And we looked at it. We looked at two scenarios. A lady walking into the office. Let's say you were a financial instructor on that day. A lady walks into the office and says, all I have is $2 and I feel like giving it away. And the truth is that we would counsel them and we would say that God knows your heart. Keep it to yourself. And yet in the Bible, God looks at that woman and commends her greatly. But yet there is another man who comes in and says, I want to retire early. I want to do everything right and all that. I'm going to retire. And so I'm going to build bigger barns and everything, as we're going to see in our story. And God looks at him and says, you fool. And that is what we need to biblically understand money Because Jesus has this whole thing upside down. Amen? And so we need to understand. Thirdly, we really want you to be free from the love of money. We want you to be free from the love of money. Our hearts are easily deceived by money, and it's the biggest competitor to the affections of our hearts, right? Number four, the fourth reason was that we want to see how the gospel prunes greed and promotes generosity. So we strongly believe that greed and generosity are gospel issues. They're gospel issues, and they reveal what we are and what we're not believing about Jesus. So they reveal that. So we have to guard against greed proactively, and that's why the Bible talks so much and pushes us towards sacrificial generosity. And giving is one of the greatest ways to guard against greed. And so that's what we see here. And not only that, the last reason was that we see that money and possessions, it's a crucial element when it comes to discipleship. When we give generously, it cuts into the way we live, and there are things that we can or cannot do because of the way we give. So letting go reminds us that our satisfaction, our significance, and our security is not in money or in possessions, but it's in Jesus. So we need to be constantly transferring our significance and security and satisfaction in Jesus by letting go of what we love for what we love more. And so that's what Scripture helps us with. So I'm just gonna really ask you, as we are going through this series, ask yourself, how is it that we're going to be going and combating this issue of generosity in our lives? And like I say, that this is the thing. According to the Bible, and looking at it, and this is my biggest desire here, my primary goal in going through this series is that we don't want things from you, we want things for you. The goal is not your money. It's that you be free from the love of money. That's the goal. Amen? So Luke 12 for me, Luke 12 really sets, has kind of really worked a lot in my heart in terms of this issue of money and possessions. It's helped a lot because the pinnacle of that is verse 30, where he hit me hard with this part where the Father knows everything you need. He is a good Father who knows everything that he needs. So when he's telling me to let go of some stuff, he knows what I need, and I'm well taken care of. Amen? And so we have to think about that. And for me, the question that starts here in verse 13 is this. Someone in the crowd say to Jesus. So Jesus is teaching, and Jesus is invited into family drama, right? He's invited into family drama. Someone in the family say, Jesus, my brother is going crazy. My brother is going crazy. He is not sharing what he's inheriting. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Right? And so here we're invited into this family drama. And let me really kind of just hit a little bit. And this right here, some of us might not want to hear this, but I found this very interesting in Randy Alcorn's book, Money, Possessions, and Eternity. That's another book that really just like is so amazing. But in this issue of inheritance, this is what he has to say. Because some of us are going to leave and we're going to die with a lot of stuff, right? And we're going to be leaving money and possessions to our children. But there's something that he says here that I think is worth mentioning when it comes to money and possessions. Look at this. He says, we should not transfer wealth to our children unless... Listen to this. Unless we've successfully transferred wisdom to them. Without wisdom, wealth will not be wasted. It will not only be wasted, it will damage our children. 100% of the time. I will make this statement that seems incredible, that may seem incredible, but I firmly believe it. If I were the devil, right? You just brought the devil into this one, right? If I were the devil and I wanted to ruin a group of Christians, I would try to get their parents to leave them large amounts of money. And that's how much I am convinced of the dangers and temptations of unearned wealth. Everything I have learned over the years has convinced me that in most cases, children who inherit wealth and who would have been far better off if money had been put in a burn pile and torched. And so for me, listen, some of us are young parents in the house, were to be parents, and we need to get this subject right so that we can transfer wisdom into our children, so that when we leave it, they will not wreck their own lives. Right? And so we have to think about that. And not only that, if we're young in this room and we're still thinking, and this is the part where we shake off laziness and we start working and earning and doing all that, simply because if it finds you without anything, it's going to ruin you. Right? Reminds me of a man who basically says, man, last year my mom died and she left me $15,000 in her will, right? And then the next time he says, yeah, and you know, last month my brother died and he left me some of his money as well. And he's like, and somebody said, man, what's wrong with you? He's like, I'm just waiting for somebody else to die again, to leave me some more. Money is never enough, right? Money is never enough. So we need to be thinking on this. So in this verse here, Jesus kind of gets approached here. And notice Jesus' response in verse 14. He said to him, man, who made me a judge and arbitrator over you? So Jesus rebukes him by making an announcement about his purpose. And his purpose here, as one theologian, Leon Morris, says, describes this sin, he says, Jesus came to bring people to God, not property to people. And so he says this, and so Jesus kind of just brings us together. He brings him and he says, listen, that's not what I'm really here for. But he takes that as an opportunity to teach. So I want you to consider this request. It wasn't necessarily greedy. He just wanted, and Jesus could have just taken him to the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have. Tell your brother the golden rule. And he could have taken him somewhere else and taught him about honesty and all that stuff. Because there is 100% chances that the brother was in the crowd as well. But Jesus decided, I'm going to teach both of them here. And so he decides, Jesus' first concern here was to talk about the heart and its tendency to gravitate towards greed and money of love and possessions. So we see him here. We see this man asking the question. And this is us as well. When we think about money and we think about our biggest problem is that we don't have enough money. But Jesus thinks our biggest problem is that money and possessions loom large and we love it too much and we're looking too much for it. It is the biggest shareholder in your heart. That's what Jesus, he's saying, it's not that you have it or you don't have it. The problem is that it's way too important to you, right? And so I like the analogy another pastor gave. He said, if you could have Jesus as your financial instructor, I can imagine he would be sitting there and he will not be giving you advice on stock exchange and all that. He would be trying to get to your heart, to get to the bottom of why do you need it? And that's why we really need to get down. So Luke chapter 12, verse 15 to 21. Let me read verse 15 for you to 21. And he said to them, take care and be on guard. These are very important words, ladies and gentlemen. Take care and be on guard. Against what? Against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist on the abundance of his possession. So here he comes with a parable to illustrate this. Verse 16, and he told them a parable, a story that's meant to illustrate a big idea. Tell me, and I want you to really just think about this. Tell me, this does not sound like the American dream, right? That we're chasing, right? The land of a rich man produces plentiful. Verse 17, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. So he's a farmer, right? And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain, all my goods. Look at this. All my grain, all my laid up for many years. Relax. He says, look at this. He says, after that, I'm going to chill. After that, I'm going to chill. Not only that, I am going to eat, okay? After that, I'm going to chill. I'm going to eat. Not only that, man, we're going to turn it up. We're going to drink. Right? After that, man, listen, and be merry. I'm talking about, like, be right there where everything is high. That's it. Everything is all right. I'm talking about, like, I'm good. I'm set. I'm good, right? Look at verse 20, the most saddest verse. But God said to him, fool. That is, let me tell you this. Fool coming from me might not hurt you. You might recover from that. You hear me? Fool coming from me might, you might just change churches and go to the church down the street to Spencer or go to, I'm talking about like, fool might just, but when God says fool, it echoes in eternity. There is nowhere you can go where you will not be a fool when he calls you a fool. That scares me. In hell, I'll be a fool. If I get into a submarine and go deep down, I'll be a fool in a submarine. If I have much money, I'll be the fool with much money. What if I could be a rich fool. Right? It's sad. This night, your soul is required of you. Scariest word. Your soul is required of you. And the things you've prepared, there's no turn up time on this one. Whose will they be? Whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So there is warnings and wisdom to this. And let me just really go into the warnings that Jesus gives. He says, take care. Take care. Be on guard. And so I want to just really define greed here from looking at this. And I'm going to use greed, covetousness, materialism, and all that and put it all in a general way. Defined, what is greed? It's an inordinate desire for money and material things. An inordinate desire, it's a belief that what really matters in life is money and possessions and what you can acquire, right? And so this is what we see. It's looking towards money and possessions for what we call security, significance, satisfaction, and all that. If it's not there, and this is how Tim Keller defines an idol, if it's not there, you think you are done. If it's not there, you think you're done. And so greed does not start in our behavior. It starts in our belief. Inside, what we really believe. And so here, what Jesus does is that he says that we need to guard against greed. So in verse 15, he says, and he said to him, take care and be on guard and all covetousness. The NIV says, all kinds of greed. So beware. Look out. Take care. Wake up. And I'm talking about like just literally just be. It's almost like you are like that sniper that's just waiting, looking and just waiting for every moment for greed to pop up so that you can take it out. Right? To be on guard. And for me, I remember being on guard. What that looks like is I remember when There was a day when thieves broke into our house in Zimbabwe. And then let me tell you, that was when we just transitioned from black and white TVs. Some of you guys don't even know what that looks like. That's when we transitioned from black and white TVs into color TVs. And so we had this TV, and I'm talking about like, it was almost like a 40-inch TV, and it was a color TV. I'm talking about like all the kids in the neighborhood. That's what we did. If you wanted to be the boss in the neighborhood, where I'm coming from is that you had to have a TV, because we didn't want to miss WWF or WCW. I'm talking about like when Royal Rumble was on, you had to. And so I'm talking about like who ran the streets. The one who ran the streets was the one who had a color TV at their home. Because on Friday when Family Matters came in, right? You guys remember Family Matters. When Steve Urkel wanted coming, when he was coming, we had to be somewhere. But if you had messed your relationships up, it didn't work. So we got our color TV, man. I became the boss in the city. I'm talking about like on Friday you would have almost like, I ran a movie house. I'm talking about like charging people to come in until people came and stole our TV. It was a mess. I'm talking about like I woke up and I saw this dude walk out with the TV. I tried to chase him. I said, you have no idea what's on this. My whole reputation is on this. No longer the boss, right? So TV left. And so they ran away with the TV and a couple other things. And we started hearing rumors of the fact that they will hit again. They usually come and they get the first sweep and they will come back again because they now know how to get into your house. Oh, we were on guard. I'm talking about like everything you could find. I'm talking about like, just like, right? That's the part where I go get, I went back, way back, go get my African spear, keep it with me. Next to it, I'm kidding, all right. Only I'm allowed to say that, okay? But you see, we were on guard. I'm talking about like waking up at every single noise and all that stuff. And God calls us to be on guard in this way. Not in guard for possessions, but in guard, on guard when it comes to what is it that steals our affections against with him. To be on guard, to be, I'm talking about like, listen, that if you've been a parent, you've got, I'm talking about like hearing that you can have 20 people in your living room, but you will hear a child cry from two stories up. That on guard, that when everybody is talking and the world is screaming, you need it, you can hear the voice of God say, you don't. Amen? So I'm just like really, this is one of those things where the truth of the matter is this. If I was to survey almost all of our resolutions here of the year, there's no one probably in this room. And as a pastor for a couple of years, I've never met one person who says, this year, I want to guard against greed. It's usually this year I'm going to make as much money as possible. This year I'm going to do this and all that. But yet Jesus says we need to be on guard. Amen? Amen? And so there are reasons for these warnings. Let me zip through some of these reasons here. And I hope there are reasons for this. Number one is the fact that greed is no respecter of persons. It's no respecter of persons. It doesn't care about who you are or what you own. The common belief is that greed is only a sin for the extremely wealthy. But the truth is that is not true. Greed is an equal opportunity employer. It's not just an upper class problem. It's an every class problem. Those who have money can be controlled by what they have. And those who don't have money can be controlled with their want to have what those who have, right? It just controls us. And that's why Jesus says, be on guard against all kinds of greed. All kinds of greed. And Jesus, and even God himself said in the commandments, you shall not worship any other god. Make any idol of any kind, right? And so it has a way of creeping in and doing that, right? So you can be the excessive spender who's always buying, or you can be the excessive saver who is hoarding. But the truth is that it's greed at the end of the day. Go watch hoarders. You will feel bad, but at the same time, that's greed from another extreme. Amen? Greed has a blinding power. Another reason. Like pride, greed blinds us from the fact that we have it. And the truth is that in all my years, there's never been a moment when I say, oh yeah, there it is. Greed is a way of blinding, and it's usually, the way it blinds us is this, it's usually in comparing ourselves with others first, right? We compare ourselves with, when it comes to morality, right? We compare ourselves with others, and we look at somebody else who has more, and we think, I'm pretty good, I'm good, right? And greed comes in as well, creeps in as well, when we quickly turn luxuries into necessities. It creeps in that. And I remember, and I'm so glad they're here today. There was one day we were going through a rocky situation. And this is like 2013, 2014, and we things were going so bad. And I remember sitting with Shana, and we were talking, and I'm talking about like, and I was complaining. You know, we're not getting paid. This is what I need, this much, and I need this, and I need this. And I'm just like, I'm done. And as far as I'm concerned, she looked at me like a 2-year-old who was pouting on the ground. And I'm talking about like, I'm 30 years old at this moment. She just looks at me and she says, Rafi, you are doing way better than a lot of people. Man, look, every gadget you need, every gadget you think you want, you have. Started pointing out to all my gadgets. I'm talking about like at that moment, I was silenced, and all of a sudden God opened a window to my greed. You still want more, right? You still want more. You still want more. So usually when we turn luxuries into necessities, and this is the issue that comes in, is that obviously the more we have money, the more our spending becomes better. We start buying better things and all that stuff. And let me tell you, that's the reason why a lot of the people that we look up to in the media are so much in debt. Right? They're so much in debt. And you know, Julia's show, she wrote, she's a professor in Boston College, and she wrote a book called The Overspent American. One part of her study is revealing when she surveyed homes in America that were making 100K or more, and asked this question: can you afford to buy everything you really need? Two-thirds of them said, no, we cannot. A third of the world lives in less than $3 a day, while we make up of the most wealthiest people. And I'm no longer exempt because I'm an American. A third of the world, and we're still thinking we're barely scraping by, right? And greed is usually more subjective as well. Very subjective. Greed is not like adultery, right? It's not like you don't come up to your senses in the middle of the act of adultery and wait, oh, am I committing adultery, right? It's typically, it's one of the shades of gray, right? It's just in there somewhere. It's very difficult. This is what Randy Alcorn says. The hardest part of dealing with our materialism is that it has been removed from the light so long that we don't know how dark, it really is. Many of us have never known what it is to not to be materialistic. And this is why we need so desperately to read the scriptures. If we were to gain God's perspective, even for a moment, and we're to look at the way we go through life in accumulating and hoarding and displaying our things, we would have the same feelings of horror and pity that any sane person has when he views people in an asylum endlessly beating their heads against the wall. Right? And John Stott says this as well in there. He says, our blindness to materialism is similar to the Western culture's blindness to the sin of slavery in the 18th and 19th century. That cut deep. Likely, future generations, should they look back, will regard our day with the same perplexity. How could they have not seen it? How could they have not seen it? So greed has the power to destroy your spiritual life as well. And here we see the danger. And 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 to 10 kind of puts us in there. And it says this, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Those are not cute words. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not evil in itself. It's just, it lies right there at the root. It's through this craving that some, listen to this, some, and we're not exempt to being part of the some have wandered away from faith. Look at that. It can kill your spiritual life. And have pierced themselves with many pangs. The problem is not money. It's morally neutral. Or that God doesn't love those that have money. He loves them, just like we saw last week in our rich young ruler. He looked at them and he loved them. That was the nice part. He looked at this rich young ruler and he loved them. That's what scripture says. He loved them. But the problem is that the rich young ruler had his love in another place. He was in love more with his riches more than. And Jesus says to this rich young ruler, how difficult. Once again, if Jesus says it's difficult, it is very difficult, okay? How difficult. And he illustrated it, those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 25, for it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The more you own, the more likely that you will walk away from Jesus, right? Because he asks us to walk away from everything that we own, right? So there's likely nothing in your life that has more power to separate you from God than money and possessions. Because that did that in that story, he just walked away. And that's why God talks about it more. Another reason, greed makes us forget the eternal. Greed makes us forget the eternal. Look at this. Let's go back to our story. It makes us forget the eternal. Why? He says this. The problem here, he says this. I will say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, and drink. And God said to him, fool. Right? This night your soul will be required of you. And what you've prepared, whose will it be? Greed is not just sinful. It is foolish according to the Bible. It's not just sinful, it is foolish. And when we're looking at this, we have to tackle two questions that Jesus asks here. And the first question is like, the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And the question is that, not yours, right? They asked John D. Rockefeller, one of the richest men in history, when he died and his accountant was asked, how much did John leave? How much did he leave? And his reply was classic. He left all of it. All of it. So you're going to leave it all. And that's what God asked. You fool, what you've prepared, whose will it be? Right? That's where we get that saying, there's no U-Haul behind hearses, right? It just doesn't work like that, right? And Jamie Monson in his book, he says this, everything we have comes from God, belongs to God, life, money, possessions, resources, time, job, talents, everything. We are stewards of what God has given us. He owns it and we use it. And if we could just get that perspective, if we can just get that perspective this morning. Another reason is that greed turns us inward. It turns us inward. And I want you to count in this passage how many times he says, I. 9 times. It turns us inward, right? And then we, at the end of the day, if we ask all the wrong questions, we'll come to all the wrong conclusions about money and possessions. Another reason is that greed distracts us from our primary purpose. And I love the Westminster Catechism, and it's one of the best ways to disciple your family, because the first question is that, what is the primary purpose of man? And the answer is that it is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And money has a way of distracting us from our main purpose. Luke 8, verse 14, it says, and for what fell amongst the thorns, I'm talking about the seeds here, and are those that when they hear, but when they go their way, they're choked. And it talks about the word of God being sown, are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. He talks about the fact that, like, riches have a way of choking God's word in your life, right? So we need to ask ourselves, what are some of those things that are choking you right now? What are some of those things that are choking you right now? Let me ask Cody and them to come up here. Other part is this. Another reason is that greed is very enslaving. It's very enslaving. And as you can see here, is the fact that he, instead of actually considering what God has said, here he's been gripped by money and possessions. Let me run through. Another reason that we find here is that greed fosters immorality. It fosters immorality. Let me tell you this, it's so funny. David Neff, one of the writers of USA Today, I want to read you this. In Christianity Today, he says on his article, Drunk on Money, motives having to do with money or sex account to 99% of the crimes committed in the United States. But those with money as their object outpoint sexual offenses by a ratio of 4-1, right? People will put families on the line of money. He continues to say, indeed, of men whose income is far more above minimum wage, 31% conduct adulterous affairs. But of those with triple that income, the number one committing adultery percentage is 70%. Says the more money you have, the more you think, I'm the boss. I could sleep with anyone I want. And greed, last reason here, greed is idolatry and therefore is offensive to God. It's idolatry, and therefore it's offensive to God. Ephesians 5:5 says this very well. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral, impure, and who is covetous, that is an idolater, right? Has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. That's one of the reasons why we need to be checking our hearts on that. The fact that it has a way of separating you from your true inheritance, which is in the kingdom of God. God is serious about greed. It offends Him. And God is saying, Do not trust in money and possessions, right? It's saying, God, I do not trust you to give my heart everything it needs. I'm looking towards money and possessions to do that. A house, a new toy, a new gadget, a knick-knack, whatever it is, a pair of jeans, a new shirt. This is what I'm expecting. And here, let me just ask you to stand up as we close this, as we're going to sing in response. I want you to consider the wisdom that he says. There's warnings in here, but there's also wisdom. And the wisdom is this. In verse 15, it says, take care and be on guard against covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. My hope for us is that the Spirit of God would give you great faith to believe and to live this, to know this, and to allow this to saturate your heart. Do you know this? That your life does not consist of abundance and possessions? And here life is this, is that word bios. That's where we get biology. Life, the essence of life itself. Jesus is saying money and possessions add nothing to the essence of life. Right? It's not in the bank account, it's not on anything. And I love what C.S. Lewis says on this. He says, he who has God has everything and has no more than he who has God alone. He who has God, is that true of you and me? And this is what A.W. Tozer says. It says, the man who has God for his treasure has all things in one. And I want us to respond in song this morning and ask yourself, where's, and that's why he is saying that we need to be rich towards God. And by being rich towards God is that all our chips are in God, not in anything on earth, where moth and rust will corrupt. Ladies and gentlemen, every gadget, everything that we love, ask yourself where it's going to be in 50 years' time. It's all going to be in the dumpster. That's the truth. It's all going to be. But let me tell you, we've got a bigger inheritance that we have. That is God. And he says, lay up your treasures in heaven. So when we're asking for generosity, for people to give towards the mission of God and all that, and you're putting it towards change lives, and because there's only two things that are going to be there in heaven, the Word of God and the souls of men. And so we're asking you to transfer your treasures and move them. You can't keep them here on earth, but you can transfer them. That's what partnering with church, partnering and giving and being generous, even with missionaries and all that, is all about, right? And so he says this, many ordinary treasures may be denied this man, but if he is allowed to have them, the enjoyment of them will be so tempered that they will be never necessary to his happiness. And if he must see them go one after one, he will scarcely feel the sense of loss, for having the source of all things, he has in one all satisfaction, all pleasure, all delight. Whatever he may lose, he has actually lost nothing, for he now has it all in one. He has it purely and legitimately and forever. Jesus, help us to have this perspective. And the truth is that some of us are in here and our lives, we're thinking this is all that there is to it. Today, through Jesus Christ, you can transfer your life to live eternally with him. If your life is your treasure, did you know that you could trust Jesus and you can then live with him forever? Let go of the treasure of your life and give it to Jesus. And that's what we call salvation. But not only that, I'm just asking God to prod our hearts when it comes to what do we value and what do we treasure in light of eternity and God. So let's sing this song and then I'm going to pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For service times, additional audio, along with any other information about our church, please visit citychurchpa.org.